Chapter 109. When they came down to the corner and turned, she was saying, "If I pinch myself for it, sir, that is my business. Confine yourself to yours, and ask me no question." Apostrophe, by heaven, ma'am. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he replied, making her another bow. "It was my profound respect for the strength of your character, and my admiration of your beauty. Apostrophe, I want neither the one, nor the other from any one, apostrophe," said she, "and certainly not from you of all creatures. Go on with your report." Apostrophe, am I pardoned? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he asked, with an air of half-abashed gallantry. "You are paid, apostrophe," she said, "and that is all you want." Apostrophe, whether the girl hung behind, because she was not to hear the business, or as already knowing enough about it, Clennam could not determine. They turned and she turned. She looked away at the river, as she walked with her hands folded before her, and that was all he could make of her without showing his face. There happened, by good fortune, to be a lounger really waiting for someone, and he sometimes looked over the railing at the water, and sometimes came to the dark corner and looked up the street, rendering Arthur less conspicuous. When Miss Wade and the man came back again, she was saying, "You must wait until tomorrow." Apostrophe, a thousand pardons? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he returned. "My faith. Then it's not convenient tonight?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, no. "I tell you I must get it, before I can give it to you." Apostrophe, she stopped in the roadway, as if to put an end to the conference. He of course stopped too. And the girl stopped. "It's a little inconvenient," apostrophe said the man. "A little. But, holy blue, that's nothing in such a service. I am without money tonight, by chance. I have a good banker in this city, but I would not wish to draw upon the house until the time when I shall draw for a round sum." Apostrophe, Harriet, apostrophe, said Miss Wade, "arrange with him this gentleman here for sending him some money tomorrow." Apostrophe, she said it with a slur of the word gentleman which was more contemptuous than any emphasis, and walked slowly on. The man bent his head again, and the girl spoke to him as they both followed her. Clennam ventured to look at the girl as they moved away. He could note that her rich black eyes were fastened upon the man with a scrutinizing expression, and that she kept at a little distance from him, as they walked side by side to the further end of the terrace. A loud and altered clank upon the pavement warned him, before he could discern what was passing there, that the man was coming back alone. Clennam lounged into the road, towards the railing, and the man passed at a quick swing, with the end of his cloak thrown over his shoulder, singing a scrap of a French song. The whole vista had no one in it now but himself. The lounger had lounged out of view, and Miss Wade and Tattycoram were gone. More than ever bent on seeing what became of them, and on having some information to give his good friend, Mr. Meagles, he went out at the further end of the terrace, looking cautiously about him. He rightly judged that, at first at all events, they would go in a contrary direction from their late companion. He soon saw them in a neighboring by street, which was not a thoroughfare, evidently allowing time for the man to get well out of their way. They walked leisurely arm in arm down one side of the street, and returned on the opposite side. When they came back to the street corner, they changed their pace for the pace of people with an object and a distance before them, and walked steadily away. Clennam, no less steadily, kept them in sight. They crossed the Strand, and passed through Covent Garden under the windows of his old lodging, where dear little Dorrit had come that night, and slanted away northeast, until they passed the great building whence Tattycoram derived her name, and turned into the Gray's Inn Road. Clennam was quite at home here, in right of Flora, not to mention the Patriarch and Pancks, and kept them in view with ease. He was beginning to wonder where they might be going next, when that wonder was lost in the greater wonder with which he saw them turn into the Patriarchal Street. That wonder was in its turn swallowed upon the greater wonder with which he saw them stop at the Patriarchal door. A low double knock at the bright brass knocker, a gleam of light into the road from the open door, a brief pause for inquiry and answer, and the door was shut, and they were housed. After looking at the surrounding objects for assurance that he was not in an odd dream, and after pacing a little while before the house, Arthur knocked at the door. It was opened by the usual maidservant, and she showed him up at once, with her usual alacrity, to Flora's sitting room. There was no one with Flora, but Mr. F.S. and, with respectable gentlewoman, basking in a balmy atmosphere of tea and toast, was ensconced in an easy chair by the fireside, with a little table at her elbow, and a clean white handkerchief spread over her lap on which two pieces of toast at that moment awaited consumption. Bending over a steaming vessel of tea, and looking through the steam, and breathing forth the steam, like a malignant Chinese enchantress engaged in the performance of unholy rites, Mr. F.S. Ant put down her great teacup and exclaimed, "Drat him, if he ain't come back again." It would seem from the foregoing exclamation that this uncompromising relative of the lamented Mr. F., measuring time by the acuteness of her sensations, and not by the clock, supposed Clennam to have lately gone away, whereas at least a quarter of a year had elapsed since he had had the temerity to present himself before her. "My goodness, Arthur!" cried Flora, rising to give him a cordial reception. Doyce and Clennam, what a start and a surprise, for, though not far from the machinery and foundry business and surely might be taken sometimes, if at no other time about midday, when a glass of sherry and a humble sandwich of whatever cold meat in the larder might not come amiss, nor taste the worse for being friendly, for you know you buy it somewhere, and wherever bought a profit must be made, or they would never keep the place it stands to reason without a motive still never seen, and learned now not to be expected, for as Mr. F. himself said, if seeing is believing, not seeing is believing too, and when you don't see you may fully believe you're not remembered. Not that I expect you, Arthur Doyce and Clennam, to remember me, why should I, for the days are gone, but bring another teacup here directly, and tell her fresh toast, and pray sit near the fire." Arthur was in the greatest anxiety to explain the object of his visit, but was put off for the moment, in spite of himself, by what he understood of the reproachful purport of these words, and by the genuine pleasure she testified in seeing him. "And now pray tell me something all you know," said Flora, drawing her chair near to his, "about the good dear quiet little thing, and all the changes of her fortunes. Carriage people now no doubt, and horses without number most romantic, a coat of arms of course, and wild beasts on their hind legs showing it, as if it was a copy they had done with mouths from ear to ear, good gracious. And has she her health, which is the first consideration after all, for what is wealth without it, Mr. F. himself so often saying, when his twinges came that sixpence a day, and find yourself, and no gout so much preferable, not that he could have lived on anything like it being the last man, or that the previous little thing, though far too familiar an expression now, had any tendency of that sort, much too slight and small, but looked so fragile, bless her. Mr. F.S. Ant, who had eaten a piece of toast down to the crust, here solemnly handed the crust to Flora, who ate it for her as a matter of business. Mr. F.S. Ant then moistened her 10 fingers in slow succession at her lips, and wiped them in exactly the same order on the white handkerchief, then took the other piece of toast, and fell to work upon it. While pursuing this routine, she looked at Clennam with an expression of such intense severity that he felt obliged to look at her in return, against his personal inclinations. "She is in Italy, with all her family, Flora," he said, when the dreaded lady was occupied again. "In Italy, is she really?" said Flora, "with the grapes growing everywhere, and lava necklaces and bracelets, to that land of poetry with burning mountains picturesque beyond belief, though if the organ boys come away from the neighborhood, Not to be scorched, nobody can wonder, being so young and bringing their white mice with the most humane, and is she really in that favored land with nothing but blue about her, and dying gladiators and belvederes, though Mr. F. himself did not believe for his objection, when in spirits was that the images could not be true, there being no medium between expensive quantities of linen badly got up, and all increases and none whatever, which certainly does not seem probable, though perhaps in consequence of the extremes of rich and poor which may account for it. Apostrophe, Arthur tried to edge a word in, but Flora hurried on again. Venice preserved too, apostrophe said she, I think you have been there, is it well or ill preserved, for people differ so, and macaroni if they really eat it like the conjurers, why not cut it shorter, you are acquainted Arthur dear Doyce and Clennam at least not dear, and most assuredly not Doyce for I have not the pleasure, but pray excuse me acquainted I believe with Mantua, what has it got to do with Mantua making for I never have been able to conceive. Apostrophe apostrophe, I believe there is no connection, Flora, between the two, apostrophe Arthur was beginning, when she caught him up again. Upon your word no, isn't there I never did, but that's like me, I run away with an idea, and having none to spare I keep it, alas there was a time dear Arthur, that is to say decidedly not dear nor Arthur neither, but you understand me, when one bright idea gilded the, what's his name horizon of etc., but it is darkly clouded now, and all is over. Apostrophe, Arthur's increasing wish to speak of something very different was by this time so plainly written on his face, that Flora stopped in a tender look, and asked him what it was? I have the greatest desire, Flora, to speak to someone who is now in this house with Mr. Casby no doubt. Someone whom I saw come in, and who, in a misguided and deplorable way, has deserted the house of a friend of mine. Apostrophe, Papa sees, so many and such odd people, apostrophe said Flora, rising, that I shouldn't venture to go down for anyone but you Arthur, but for you, I would willingly go down in a diving bell much more a dining room, and will come back directly if you'll mind, and at the same time not mind Mr. F.S. and while I'm gone. Apostrophe, with those words and a parting glance, Flora bustled out, leaving Clennam under dreadful apprehension of this terrible charge. The first variation which manifested itself in Mr. F.S. Ant's demeanor, when she had finished her piece of toast, was a loud and prolonged sniff. Finding it impossible to avoid construing this demonstration into a defiance of himself, its gloomy significance being unmistakable, Clennam looked plaintively at the excellent, though prejudiced lady from whom it emanated, in the hope that she might be disarmed by a meek submission. None of your eyes at me, apostrophe said Mr. F.S. Ant, shivering with hostility. Take that. Apostrophe, that was the crust of the piece of toast. Clennam accepted the boon with a look of gratitude, and held it in his hand under the pressure of a little embarrassment, which was not relieved, when Mr. F.S. Ant, elevating her voice into a cry of considerable power, exclaimed, he has a proud stomach, this chap. He's too proud a chap to eat it. Apostrophe apostrophe, and, coming out of her chair, shook her venerable fist so very close to his nose, as to tickle the surface. But for the timely return of Flora, to find him in this difficult situation, further consequences might have ensued. Flora, without the least discomposure or surprise, but congratulating the old lady in an approving manner on being very lively tonight, handed her back to her chair. He has a proud stomach, this chap, apostrophe said Mr. F.S. relation, on being reseated. Give him a meal of chaff. Apostrophe, oh. I don't think he would like that, and, apostrophe returned Flora. Give him a meal of chaff, I tell you, apostrophe said Mr. F.S. and, glaring round Flora on her enemy. It's the only thing for a proud stomach. Let him eat up every morsel. Drat him, give him a meal of chaff. Apostrophe apostrophe, under a general pretense of helping him to this refreshment, Flora got him out on the staircase. Mr. F.S. and even then constantly reiterating, with inexpressible bitterness, that he was a chap, apostrophe and had a proud stomach, apostrophe and over again insisting on that equine provision being made for him which she had already so strongly prescribed. Such an inconvenient staircase, and so many corner stairs, Arthur, apostrophe whispered Flora, would you object to putting your arm round me under my pelerin? Apostrophe, apostrophe, with a sense of going downstairs, in a highly ridiculous manner, Clennam descended in the required attitude, and only released his fair burden at the dining room door. Indeed, even there she was rather difficult to be got rid of, remaining in his embrace to murmur, Arthur, for mercy's sake, don't breathe it to Papa. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she accompanied Arthur into the room, where the patriarch sat alone, with his list shoes on the fender, twirling his thumbs, as if he had never left off. The youthful patriarch, aged 10, looked out of his picture frame above him with no calmer air than he. Both smooth heads were alike beaming, blundering, and bumpy. Mr. Clennam, I am glad to see you. I hope you are well, sir, I hope you are well. Please to sit down, please to sit down. Apostrophe, I had hoped, sir, apostrophe said Clennam, doing so, and looking round with a face of blank disappointment, not to find you alone. Apostrophe, ah, indeed? Apostrophe, apostrophe said the patriarch, sweetly. Ah, indeed? Apostrophe, I told you, so you know Papa, apostrophe cried Flora. Ah, to be sure. Apostrophe, apostrophe returned the patriarch. Yes, just so. Ah, to be sure. Apostrophe, apostrophe, pray, sir, demanded Clennam, anxiously, is Miss Wade gone? Apostrophe, miss? Oh, you call her Wade, apostrophe returned Mr. Casby. Highly proper. Apostrophe, Arthur quickly returned, what do you call her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Wade, apostrophe said Mr. Casby. Oh, always Wade. Apostrophe, after looking at the philanthropic visage, and the long silky white hair for a few seconds, during which Mr. Casby twirled his thumbs, and smiled at the fire, as if he were benevolently wishing it to burn him, that he might forgive it, Arthur began. I beg your pardon, Mr. Casby apostrophe, not so, apostrophe said the patriarch, not so, apostrophe, Gutenberg edition, end of chapter.